I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you this evening for this time to come together and, Lord, to hear your word. Would you bless it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and to our good. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Holding your place right there in 1 Timothy, let me read this passage of Scripture for you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, you know, that pretty well sums up the whole scheme of things that we're to be thankful for in everything. Give thanks. It is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, that we be thankful. And in being thankful, let us strive as providentially the Lord orders our steps and things come our way, whatever comes our way. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Whatever comes to pass is the Lord's will. So in everything, that which the Lord has done for us, we that believe, we're believers. Thank you. Lord, thank you that you'd call me out of the darkness of unbelief. Thank you for what you've provided. He said, my God shall supply all your need. Not necessarily our wants, because what we want is not necessarily what we need. But all of our need, he's going to provide according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be thankful for where we are. We speak often of having a place where we can meet together. I mean, just think about how, relatively speaking, some farther than others, but relatively speaking, we don't have to go anyplace. I mean, we're right here. And there are people in this world that the Lord has revealed Christ to, and they have long distances. There's not a place where they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to move. They're going to, for the sake of the gospel, be thankful. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, with that word of exhortation here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And the Scripture says, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul, being thankful, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I thank the Lord. I thank Christ Jesus the Lord. We thank the Lord for all things. I heard Brother Henry say, I was preaching a message, and he was talking to someone that he had heard say to a visitor. They said, I thank you for coming, Henry said to that person. He said, listen, he said, let me give you some advice. Don't ever tell anybody again, thank you for coming to the services. Don't ever say that again. He said, rather say this, I thank the Lord that the Lord brought you here. thanking them. Brother Henry said that's the wrong person to thank. In all things, give thanks. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, who hath strengthened me by his might, for that he accounted me faithful. Not that the Lord saw Paul to be faithful and then called him, like as if Paul was the faithful one, but Paul the apostle was counted faithful in that the Lord made him so by grace and then blessed what the Lord had done for him. You remember when the woman with the issue of blood came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she said within herself, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be clean. I'll be whole. She came and touched him. The Lord stopped and he said, who touched me? The disciples said, Lord, well, you're in the press. Everybody's touching you. He said, no, virtue has gone out of me. Someone touched me. And he turned and he saw the woman, and she was trembling, fearful. And he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. Where did she get it? He gave it to her. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. What he did for me, he honored. Putting me, set me, fixed me, ordained me into the ministry. It's the Lord that calls men into the ministry of preaching the gospel. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Paul says who, in verse 13 of 1 Timothy 1, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, he said, I was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. Now, first time that Paul is ever mentioned, he was Saul of Tarsus. Hold your place right there. Turn to Acts 7. First time the Apostle Paul was ever mentioned before he was converted is found in Acts 7, verse 54. You remember the story of Stephen? Stephen was preaching, and these Jews were listening to him, and the more he preached, the madder they got. Acts 7, starting in verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I'm going to just stop right there for just a second. I can't help but think that I was considering this verse of scripture here this afternoon, thinking about this message. Moses asked the Lord, said, show me your glory. Well, I know what the word means. Show me what you think. Show me your thoughts, what your desire is. But that, listen to this. He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Who did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God, standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Here was Saul of Tarsus. Now I know that it was Saul of Tarsus because the Apostle Paul brought it up. Turn over to Acts 22. Acts 22. Paul never forgot what he had done, what his attitude was. Acts 22 and verse 20. Here's what Paul says. He was relating the story, and I'll just go to verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Paul said, I was the one. I was the one. Now back in 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, here's what he's doing. He's relating. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who enabled me, counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, one that spoke evil against the Lord. I was a persecutor, doing harm to God's people, injurious, an insulter to the work of the ministry, hating the gospel. When he was on the road to Damascus, he was going to get those who were of the way of faith, the way of truth. Paul said in verse 13, he says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I obtained mercy. Why? Well, because the Lord had everlastingly loved him. Chose him in Christ from before the foundation of the world. How would we have ever known that? The Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. That's what he was doing. He was writing a letter. The book of Ephesians was a letter that he wrote. And he wrote this letter and saying exactly what the Spirit of God was moving upon the Apostle Paul to write. How would we have known that? How would we have known that before the foundation? How would Paul have known it? Unless the Lord revealed that to him. And so here he is. I obtained mercy. Why? Because the Lord chose to show mercy. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. The Lord told the Apostle Paul, I'm going to get to Acts 9 in just a minute. I'm trying to get there now, but I'm going. The Apostle Paul was sent into Damascus. And the Lord told Ananias, you know, Ananias, I want you to go over as one Saul of Tarsus. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Why did the Lord show mercy? Because the Lord chose to show mercy. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Not that his ignorance and unbelief was the reason, but Paul was saying, I'm admitting that I was a rebel against God in a state of ignorance and unbelief. Not trying to make excuses for what I was doing, but I'm admitting that I'm nothing more than a poor, blind, ignorant bigot by nature. And God was pleased to show mercy to this sinner. Verse 14, 1 Timothy 1, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul was saying. How is the evidence of God's mercy to a sinner shown? How is it? Here it is right here. God's mercy to me was evidenced, Paul said, in this ignorant sinner first, because I believed God. That's what he said. Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith. I believe God. How do I know that the Lord has shown mercy to me? I believe God. It doesn't say I believe in God, though he did. But devils believe in God. Everybody believes in God. I've had people say, now I believe in God. Well, demons do too. They believe in God. But to believe God is to believe what the Lord has said concerning Christ Jesus. He says, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith, and listen to this, and love. which is in Christ Jesus. I believe Him and I love Him. I love Him as He's revealed in new scriptures. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ that is set forth in God's Word, God's sovereign Son, sovereign God, God-man. He says, all power given unto me by the Father, that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given me. What does that mean? That He's going to give eternal life to as many as the Father's given Him. That's what He means. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Paul said, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said in verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a true, not to be doubted, not to be argued, not to be debated. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. It has weight and is suitable for the eternal good of a man's soul. This is truthful. This is the truth, Paul said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sent of the Father to save those according to God's eternal purpose given to the Lord Jesus Christ in electing grace. Who are they? Sinners. Wicked rebels who can do nothing but sin. Miss the mark. And then Paul says, of whom I am chief. I'm the first. I'm the greatest of sinners, is what he says. That's what he's saying. You know, I know this. I've heard men say that, and I agree with this, that this was not a false humility. Paul wasn't trying to get people to say, oh, no, Paul, you're not. You're really not that bad, Paul. He wasn't trying to. He meant this. He wrote this under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Paul the Apostle knew something of the sense of sin, obviously. Now, I know, no matter what, we know in part, we prophesy in part, we see through a glass darkly, we just don't see as by the grace of God we will, but we do see. But I thought about this, and every once in a while I'll tell you, now I'm not going to speak decidedly right here. I'm going to give you my thought on it. So just take it as my thought, because I have no way to confirm this, but I can tell you why I'm about to say what I'm about to say, and I think it could be right. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He said, I'm the first, I'm the greatest of sinners. And he believed it. He believed it. I think when the Scripture speaks of the Apostle Paul, he said this, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether it was in the body, out of the body, I don't know. He was taken up to the third heaven and saw things and heard things that he can't speak. Couldn't say them, couldn't relate them, couldn't, no way to express what he saw. In those times, or in that time of him being in that the third heaven, in paradise. He was in paradise. And the things that he saw, and the things that he heard, and the things that the Lord revealed to him, Paul knew something of what It was to behold paradise. And that's all he ever said about it. But can you imagine coming back with a memory of something that you've seen and then beholding yourself and that body of sin that Paul said, "Oh, wretched, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul meant that. He knew something of it. And I just wonder, when he said Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, he's seen something of who he was. He's seen something of the glory of God. I don't know what he saw. That's all he said. But I tell you what, unto whom much is given, much is required. And Paul lived with that for the rest of his life. He went through seeing something of the wretchedness. He said, "I was shown the mercy of God." That's what he said in verse 16. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." This is the second time that Paul related in this passage that we've just read about the mercy of God. The Apostle Paul was moved upon by the Holy Spirit to say this: "I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was one that was injurious. And God Almighty was pleased to show mercy. He was long-suffering in me to be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, this is the point that I've wanted to come to, and I'm just going to make a few quick points and end this message. But this is where I've come to. I want us to look at Paul the Apostle. He said, "The Lord showed mercy to me. I was a blasphemer." Paul knew something about himself. He said, "I was a persecutor. I was injurious, and God showed mercy to me as a pattern to those that believe hereafter." This is the pattern, Paul said, of what a sinner saved by the grace of God looks like. I was a pattern. Now, I want you to turn with me to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Here's the pattern, Paul said. This is how God saves sinners. Here's the pattern of a sinner. Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Paul said, here's the pattern of those to whom God shows mercy. He said, "I was a headstrong rebel against God. I was not seeking the Lord." Here was Paul with this attitude as he had formerly described. "I was a blasphemer against God, persecuting God's church, injurious to the gospel of God's grace." And there's no limit to the depth to which a man will fall except the Lord of glory shows mercy. Paul said, "I was that one that persecuted." A religious man. Now, I'm talking about a religious man. Listen to Philippians 3:5. Paul said, this is the way I was. This blaspheming, injurious persecutor. This is how I saw myself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which in the law, blameless. I went to church on Saturday. I tithed everything that I had. I did everything according to the law, to the letter of the law. And I could find no fault in myself. And he said I was nothing more than a blaspheming persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ of his people. Surely the Lord in his mind would find some respect for such an upstanding religious man. Not so. Not so. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. He's vain, empty. Paul said, I was a pattern of a rebel against God. This is the kind of people, Paul said, that Christ Jesus came to this world to save. Sinners. Not religious people that's got all of their hope built up in what they've done for themselves. Paul said, I was a pattern of one to whom God shows mercy. Secondly, he said, I was a pattern of the mercy of God. Look at verses 3 and 4. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here was an object of God's mercy, dead in trespasses and sins, doing just exactly what he wanted to do, and stopped in his tracks by the arresting grace of God when God Almighty shined the light of his mercy around Saul of Tarsus. Now, he said, I was a pattern. I was a pattern of those that the Lord saves. Look at verse 3 again. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him. There were some other men with him, but it shined around him. And verse 4 says, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul said, I'm a pattern of those that the Lord saves. He saves with distinguishing grace. My sheep, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now there's a divine call, there's a general call. This general call goes out as men preach the gospel, as people hear it. They hear the gospel preached, and that call, a man, a woman, can resist. It's just a general call. Come to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I don't think so. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Nah, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. But I'm telling you, if Almighty God speaks personally to his people, Saul, Saul. Look at verse 7 in our text. He says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They didn't. Saul, Saul, Paul relating this story in Acts 22:9 said this, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." They didn't hear it. Who was the Lord talking to? He was talking to Saul. Saul? Saul. Whenever the Lord calls, it's a convicting call. Why persecutest thou me? Humbling call. Verse 3 says he fell to the earth, knocked him off his high horse. Saul, seeing the light of God's illuminating grace and hearing that effectual call from the Lord, still ignorant. Now he's still ignorant. The Lord's arrested him, stopped him. Now here's that prevenient grace that we've heard about. Prevenient grace before grace. Stopped him. It stopped him. Chuck and I was talking the other day, and he was talking about Brother Scott one time. You know, how many in here, you know, at one time was dating somebody and came, and they just, you started coming. And the reason you came was, they came was because, you know, Mark, you just came because Renee was coming. Chuck, that's in our minds, see, that's why. That's why we came. Well, I'm just dating her. That's where she goes to church. So, but when Almighty God is pleased to show mercy to one of the objects of His mercy and compassion, He speaks to that person in particular, and that person hears the voice of the Lord in his heart. That's why, he arrests them. There was grace before grace. Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? And listen to what Saul of Tarsus said. Verse 5. Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Who are you? Are you an angel? Who are you? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Acts 22:8 says this. He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, the one you blasphemed, the head of those you've persecuted. And then he told him, he said in verse 5, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the goad, the ox goad. You know, you get an ox to go a certain way. He starts kicking against that goad. You know who's going to get hurt? The ox. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Saul of Tarsus was a pattern of the objects of God's mercy. And here's what he said. It's hard for you to kick. You're going to be the one that's going to get hurt. Because you're coming. You're coming. You're coming. Who are you? I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. It's hard to kick against the pricks. All that the Father giveth me shall come. You're coming. What if one of the objects of God's mercy decides that he's going to kick against the will of the Lord? Well, let's just, you know, when we get a chance, go back and read the story of Jonah and tell me what's going to happen. It's hard to kick against the pricks. And then lastly, he said, I was a pattern of a humbled sinner. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What you're going to do. Here's a former rebel against God, now given a heart to call on the Lord. At first he said, Lord, who are you? And the Lord revealed himself to him. And then Paul, in humility, said, Lord, What would you have me to do? Lord, what is your will for me? I'm just an ignorant sinner, and I don't know what's right or what's best, but I know that you do. I know who you are, and whatever your will is, that's what I want. What would you have me to do? And the Lord told him, said, I want you to arise and go to the city. It'll be told thee what thou must do. There was a preacher over there, Ananias. And the Lord prepared Ananias. He said, now you go over there and you talk to him. This is a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, walked up to Saul of Tarsus. You remember how he addressed him? Brother Saul. Brother Saul. I pray the Lord teach us. This is a sinner. These are sinners. This is who God saves. He saves rebels against God, against himself. Those that despise him, but those that he's everlastingly loved, he calls them to himself, breaks them by his power, gives them a new heart, makes them willing in the day of his power. And they come, and then he keeps them. For Christ's sake, may we see him. Amen.